I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A really compelling and interesting life story is had in my guest's new book, his first, Beyond Body, Beyond Mind, Overcoming Uncertainty, Transcend Challenge and Hardships, and Fulfill Your Dreams. Dr. Suki Mukhir describes in detail the first 18 years of his life and the upheaval therein. He was born to parents of Indian heritage in Glasgow, and the family moved to Vancouver when he was three. He drops out of high school and begins to lead a life of crime and drugs. Now he's a doctor and a public speaker. I'll ask him how he got to where he is today. As well, we'll get insight on his journey. It's a fascinating story. Dr. Suki Mukhir practices at the Center for Optimal Living in West Vancouver. He is a chiropractor there. As well, that's where he practices his brand of mental, emotional, and physical wellness. The book will be launched next week, Thursday, the 18th of October, 2012, at the H.R. McMillan Space Center at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $50. And the price of admission will include a signed copy of the book. Conscious Divas is putting on the event, and tickets can be had off of their website, consciousdivas.com. Visit drsuki.com for information on Suki Mukhir, his work, and this book. Joining me in person this day, please welcome to the Plant Online program, Suki Mukhir. Dr. Mukhir, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. So, Conscious Divas, I guess I've heard of that before. If you're on the internet, you hear about these things.
Right.
Your wife runs that, right?
My wife runs Conscious Divas. It's an event company. It is exclusive to females only, so you and I can't go. But, she holds different events, brings in lots of different speakers, and so this is the event that she's holding in October.
But men can go to that event.
Men can go to that event, absolutely, yeah.
Do you remember much about Glasgow? I mean, you were three when you came here, so...
You know, I didn't. My earliest childhood memory was my brother coming home, getting made fun of, and I don't know if you read that portion of the book, but when I think about Glasgow, Scotland, it's kind of... My memories of it are very much... from when I've returned back to visit. So I didn't really get a sense of what it was like to be raised in that environment.
Yeah. And your parents, first of all, how did they end up there?
Yeah, that's a interesting story in itself. Well, my father, originally from India, at the age of 16, was advised by his father, my grandfather, to sort of go there and have a better life and be able to send money back for his family so his brothers and sister could go on and have better education. So essentially he left home at 16, went there and created a new life for himself. My parents had an arranged marriage, eventually got married, and a few years later my brother and I came along.
Yeah, and then so how did you guys all end up here in Vancouver?
My father just heard about opportunities. He worked in the textile industry in Britain, in Glasgow there, and some advertisements and papers, so he decided to come down here and check it out. He'd actually come down and spent a few months in the Vancouver area, and things looked good. He gave my mother and my brother and I a green light. I was 3 years old at the time, and we ended up flying over and packing up our stuff and meeting my father here after that time to start a new life here.
Yeah, and you talk in the book, at the beginning of the book, all the challenges that immigrant families endure. Mm-hmm. And your story is not unique in that sense.
It's not.
And do you think that these challenges, I mean, getting picked on, getting bullied and the sort, do you think that led you to the sort of unsavory life that you ended up leading in your early years, say up to, you know, I guess you were 18, I think.
18, when, yeah. You know, it's a great question, Joe. So often in life I say that we have a choice, and we have a choice to live a life a certain way. You can certainly be in that environment and make very different choices that I made. I made certain choices that led me down a certain path, and as a result of that, I created a very distorted lens of what this world was, and I saw it as a very, very hostile place, and as a result of that, I was very much in a survival mode as a child. I didn't have the greatest relationship with my parents at the time, so I really tried to figure things out for myself. And, you know, as a child and teenager growing up trying to figure things out, you don't always make the decisions based on your higher self. So that led me down a path of the journey that I went on, which very much got me immersed into the flavor of the day that was around my circumstance, which, you know, was crime, was violence, was drugs. And that microcosm of the world was very much what I thought the entire world was like. Yeah.
And so how bad was it? I mean, you mentioned there was drugs,
yeah.
Violence. Did you kill anybody?
No, I didn't kill anybody.
Yeah. But you did assault people. You stole stuff. You took drugs yourself.
Very serious addiction issues.
Did you, at the time that this was all happening, did you think at all that, I mean, you describe in the book quite graphically and quite compellingly, hitting rock bottom.
Hitting rock bottom.
But when you're in the moment, say.
Right.
Do you think, man, that this is not a good life, but I can't get out?
When you're in that place, you know, when I was 14 years old and I was on my own.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a point where I was on the streets, I didn't have a roof over my head, and I had no idea where my next meal was going to come from. You do what it takes to survive. You're in survival mode, and that's very much what I did. Now, all of a sudden you get on this conveyor belt, which starts moving faster and faster before you actually have a chance to think about where it is it's leading you. And for me, there was a disconnect, and how I coped with that disconnect was using addiction, was using drugs, because innately, I believe we're all in tune with this sense of moral right and wrong. And yeah, I'm pretty certain that I knew what was going on, and yet it's easy to numb yourself out and distort your perceptions, especially with recreational drugs. And that's very much what I did, to eventually where it got me to a point where, you know, the universe pushing me and pushing me back into a corner, right to the point where when I hit rock bottom, there was really nowhere else left to go except up. And that was really, although the most challenging time in my life, it was also a great gift because it provided an opportunity to create a different life.
And do you find today, I mean, you have this clinic in West Van.
Yeah.
People come to you for emotional help, physical help, you're a chiropractor.
Right.
Do you see yourself as, I don't know how to put this, that you want to help people? I mean, because gangs, I should say, are still very much a problem in this part of the world,
right?
In the Lower Mainland, Metro
right.
Vancouver, whatever
yeah.
we're supposed to call it now. Do you see this book somewhat addressing that issue as well?
You know, it addresses people who are living a life that they know is not what they're destined or designed to do in their time here, and deep down inside, they know that, although they're not living it. And that might be a simple thing where there may be some challenges in your life. You may feel you're in the wrong job. But really what inspired me to write this book is that I had to hit rock bottom to change my life. And if I could provide something for people to help them see that they're not moving with the ebb and flow of life, they're not evolving, they're not growing. So before they get to that place of rock bottom, they can pick up something like Beyond Body, Beyond Mind, say, hey, yeah. there's a different way. And although things aren't horrible, they can be much improved.
Did you think that one has to hit rock bottom to get a better life, say, or to want a better life?
They don't have to hit rock bottom, Joe, but I believe there has to be some motivation to change.
Yeah.
There has to be some motivation to think, I want to improve my health. I want to improve my mental, emotional state. I want to improve my ability to create more abundance. There has to be some driver. Now, whether it's to provide for your family, whether it's so you can be more mobile and play with your loved ones, whatever it is, there always needs to be a driver. For me, I didn't make the choice until I hit rock bottom.
Let's talk about hitting rock bottom, because that's what opens this book. You were 18, 19 years old, were you?
Mm-hmm.
And
just before my 19th birthday.
Yeah, and yeah. You talk about being in this room. It was a drug binge, right?
Drug binge, yeah.
Yeah, and you wanted to commit suicide.
I wanted to commit suicide.
Yeah, and so you've got the shotgun, and you're ready to do it.
Ready to do it.
And what happens?
Well,
you screwed up, essentially.
I screwed up, and I talk about that in the book. So I don't want to divulge exactly what happened, but the short was I screwed up, which I can say, wow, good thing I screwed up. Or I can say, you know, the universe really had my back there, and something very synchronous happened that moment, which gave me a second chance at life.
Now, in reading the book, it's not a, I mean, you don't strike me as a religious person, and I'm assuming that you're not, but you mentioned just now that the universe had your back. So you're a spiritual person, obviously.
I'm a spiritual person, yes.
Yeah, so that's where this book, the advice that you give in this book, that's where it comes from, right? From that place.
It does come from that place.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Joe, up until I was 18, I was very much a strong atheist. Mm-hmm. And it was actually through my education process, when I started learning through the sciences and biology of the body into mathematics and physics and eventually quantum physics, I started understanding that there's an intelligence to the body, and then I started understanding that there's an intelligence to this actual universe, and really understanding the matrix and fabric and getting a better understanding of how the world works better than your average Joe. I don't have it all figured out. Yeah. That led me to believe that there's got to be something guiding us. There's got to be something bigger than us. And that's all it is. It's not a person, a place, a thing. We can call it whatever we want. I like to call it the universe has intelligence.
The fascinating thing about you and about this journey that you've been on is that you obviously you dropped out of high school at 14.
Yes.
And yet you, after, throughout your journey, because really people should pick up the book to see how you come to where you are today. You mean you're a doctor.
Yeah.
You've read thousands of books.
Right.
Yeah. So you've always been curious, I'm assuming.
You know, I only became curious after I got out of that place of hardship when I was 18. And what happened was, Joe, I had a lot of questions, and I needed answers to those questions. And that started out by simply going to the library and picking up books. So here I was, 19 years old, high school dropout, and said goodbye to a life, yet I was spending my days in library reading books from great minds. That inspired me and motivated me to take the proper prereqs, get into college, university, and then spending 10 years in post-secondary education. But the interesting thing about that journey, I had a very Western, you know, Canadian university education here. Beautiful Western sciences helped me understand the body, the mind, the physiology, why we make decisions, psychology, things like that. But it wasn't answering fundamental questions that I had about my journey. Because, you know, how did I end up where I ended up? How did I break down? How was my body able to heal itself? So during that time, what I did, Joe, is I created my own curriculum. And that my own curriculum started with some Eastern sciences, then some Eastern philosophy, and really delved into physics and really understanding the subatomic world. So I supplemented my Western education with these other Eastern ideas. And really, my book, my idea, the way I look at life comes right in the middle. It's not Western science. It's not Eastern philosophy. It's actually right in the middle. So it's not this energetic, etheric thing. And it's not what you see, what you get. It's a blend of both things. So we can create real results right here in the real world.
And you spent some time in India too, right?
I did spend some time in India, which it was transformational because I got to experience things that were beyond my frame of understanding, my frame of reference. And those experiences planted seeds, which again provoked more questions, which led me on a path of trying to learn more. And I had this thirst and desire for knowledge, and I still do today.
Now, we all have pain in our life.
We all do.
Emotional, physical pain.
Yes.
One thing that this book teaches us is how to use that pain for good.
Yes.
And we can use the pain of the past, say, and move on from that. It seems like a very difficult thing to do. Yeah, so how do you do that?
Right. So it's only difficult simply because most of the time when we have pain in the past, we'll see it as something that's offended us, something that's harmed us, and we very much want to take on a victim mentality. And we can certainly do that. The challenge with choosing a victim mentality is it provides no opportunity for growth. And from what I understand from the central nervous system or physiology, one of the constants in life is growth and evolution. So if we're not going with the ebb and flow of life, we tend to experience more pain and less pleasure. Yet, if we can make a 1-degree shift at the way that we look at a problem, the way that we look at pain, It opens up the space to see something differently. Now, in that moment, you may not have the answer to why that challenge, hardship, or pain is occurring. But if you say, you know, right now, I can't see the gift or blessing from this challenging experience. I can't see how I can learn from this. But I know in some shape or form, when I overcome this, when I look beyond it, I'm going to be a stronger, more responsible, healthier person. I'm going to grow. I'm going to evolve. There's got to be some seed, some growth here. And the reason why I say that is because all the challenges and hardships that I'd experienced, and as you just said, still experience, because it still happens to me every day, mm-hmm. is that it's put there so we can grow and evolve. I always say that life allows us to grow right at the edge of our comfort zone. You see, life is a dynamic process. If we're not challenged, we become static. And if we're static, we're not growing anymore. For example, you know, if I gave you a 5-pound muscle and say, okay, let's lift this weight, and you're lifting a 5-pound muscle and you might strengthen your bicep muscle. After 2 weeks, if I continue to give you a 5-pound muscle, nothing's going to happen. I'd have to give you a 7-pound weight, a 10-pound weight, a 15-pound. What am I doing? I'm adding more stress and more challenge to that muscle so it grows. The human mind, the physiology, our emotional, physical state is the exact same way. It needs to be challenged to grow and evolve.
Yeah, I mean, we read magazines and they say, you know, on the cover, you know, a stress-free life. We do need those stresses, don't we?
We do need stress. And what I decipher is there's a difference, and I talk about this. There's eustress and there's distress. Distress would be walking down the street and getting hit by a Mack truck going 100K. Eustress would be going for a 30-minute jog and pushing your body cardiovascular system. It's still stress, but you know, if you want a stronger heart, do you sit on the couch and become a couch potato? Or do you go out and do you exercise, move your body? Do you stress your heart? You do. And that's what we call eustress. Eustress is a good stress. Eustress allows us to grow.
The subtitle of the book talks about overcoming uncertainty.
Right.
Life is uncertain, as you know.
It is.
So how do you predict or how do you deal with the unpredictability of life?
Right. I find, Joe, that so many people try to eliminate and eradicate fear from their life.
Yeah.
And fear creates uncertainty. I don't believe in getting rid of fear. I believe that fear must be managed. Because if fear was not in the equation, it would make the attainment of that goal empty. Fear is what drives us. Fear is what makes us stand on the other side of that obstacle and say, oh my God, I did it. How amazing is that? So fear is always going to be there. Uncertainty is always going to be there. But one of the things we can do is we can learn to manage it. And we can learn to manage it by seeing it for what it actually is. See, most people see things for what they are and make it a lot challenging. When you see things for exactly what they are, you can see, wow, that would be scary. But it could also be this. You can create a contrast. And as a result of creating the contrast, you can see the positive and negative simultaneously. And that provides fuel to be able to move through that.
So you've been to the edge. You've had this life in your past that you know that's a little scary.
Yeah.
Instills fear just reading it. You know, it instills fear in someone who reads it. But you have challenges now. I mean, you have a business,
right?
You have a family life. You have a marriage. What scares you now?
What scares me now?
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I'm an ultra-endurance athlete.
That's how you compete in these Ironman things.
I compete in Ironmans. I compete in 100-mile ultra-marathons, events that last, you know, up to like 20 hours.
Yeah.
Those scare me, Joe.
Do you still ride a motorcycle?
I still ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I do. Riding a motorcycle doesn't scare me. It used to. Yeah. But, you know, like I said that, you know, at the edge of our comfort zone allows us to grow, and we can choose our challenges, or life can hand us our challenges because life wants us to grow. So we have a choice. So now, yeah, you know, in about 4 weeks' time, I'm racing Ironman again down in Florida, and the thought of getting in an open water with 3,000 athletes punching and kicking each other, yeah, that scares me a bit.
Yeah.
But you learn to manage that. You know it's going to be okay. You put in the work, you put in the training, you're able to show up, and for me, that allows me to grow. That's what pushes my buttons today the most.
How good are you at these competitions? I mean, do you win these things? Or
I don't win them. I'm not a professional. I do place really well in the top of my age group. Generally, I'll tough finish in the top 100 out of 3,000 athletes.
Yeah. A lot of I mean, that, for example, is not something that you would suggest people get into if they have no experience in that. I don't think I could do that.
No.
But in terms of growing and adapting, mm-hmm. I mean, that's important, too. I mean, we do have to be interested. We do have to have some curiosity in life.
We must.
Yeah. Dreams. That's another word that's in the subtitle of the book.
Right.
That's important, too, having these goals.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you find that people, I don't know whether it's a lack of confidence or circumstance, that we don't have those goals ahead of us as much as I mean, or they're unrealistic, say?
Well, I believe that we have this inner guidance system, yeah. And I believe it speaks to us every now and again, will give us a burst of inspiration. And I would say that's our infinite self. And then we have this sort of finite self, which is our mind and body, which lives, you know, in this physical plane. And generally what happens is there's usually a conversation between our finite and our infinite self, or our higher and lower self. And our higher self says, hey, we can do this. And our lower self's like, what are you talking about? You can't do it. Because the primary thoughts in our mind are, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. It's too hard. I can't do it. And that's generally cross-cultural, cross-socioeconomic status. Yet, when we have those moments, those bursts of what I call inspiration, which are dreams, it's important to take note of them. It's important to write them down. And when we can do that, if we start to see a trend in some of these ideas, that we can actually start to give some attention to them. And I would say that wherever attention goes, your energy flows. You're focused on the cup being half full, it's half full. If you're focused on the cup being half empty, it's going to be half empty. And this isn't a positive, negative, self-talk type thing. It's just about what are you focusing on. And when you get those bursts of inspiration, I believe that that's your message. See, I believe we're all unique, we're all special. You know, the life that I lived for the first half of my life, I was not destined to live that life. Mm-hmm. The life I'm living now, I was. And I can actually remember saying, there's another part of the book where I talk about how when I was 17 years old, around some friends, I said, I'm not supposed to be living this life. You know, I'm meant to do something. I had no idea what. I go, I'm meant to do something that makes this world a better place, that actually helps people. And what did my friends do? They just laughed at me, you know, threw their jacket on me, told me to be quiet, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's an example of that burst of inspiration. But I held on to that idea, and every now and again, I would think about it. Again, my attention. Till eventually, it's like my life said, you know what, we're not going to let you ignore this anymore. You got to look at this and got to do something about it. And that's why life, I believe, the universe pushed me and backed me into a corner. So at any moment, we don't have to wait till we've hit that point, Joe, but we can get to a place where we say, hey, you know what, there's something to this, and we can write this down and give attention to it and see what starts to happen, to see if I still feel inspired days, weeks down the road to actually pursue this audacious, crazy idea.
Now, you lead a successful life, I mean, one could say.
Yeah.
So having goals, that's still very much a part of your life. Even though you have all the success that you have with this practice,
right,
and this book and
yeah,
a pretty happy life now,
yeah,
that's still important to you.
It's very important because, you know, what I learned in school, the father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, said all living organisms are either growing or dying.
Yeah.
So if we're not growing, by default, we're dying.
Yeah.
So if I'm not setting up the next thing of, you know, that was the inspiration, Joe, that really came from the book. You know, I had a nice little life fit into a box really nicely, and I thought, how can I reach more people? How can I share my message with people? Because what if one person could pick up this book and transform their life? Just one person. If it hits one person, it was worth all the time, energy, and effort that I put into it.
Do you have a sense of who this book would be for? Like when you're writing it,
right,
do you think that this person, this would be perfect for that person or this person?
Yes, I do. You know, that person is very much the person that is not fully fulfilled in their life. And that's it. It's as wide spectrum as that, is that they're not feeling fulfilled. They feel like there's something more to life than they're presently experiencing. And if you fall into that category, it doesn't mean your life is crappy or, you know, your life is completely down and out. It might be, but it can be a very normal person, very normal life. Things are going pretty good on the surface, but something deep down inside of you feels empty. And this book will allow you to really start to look at your life and look at yourself and begin to fill up that empty space within yourself.
It's a helpful book, having read parts of it. But I'm curious, in terms of writing it, you must have gotten something out of it. In terms of telling your story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Writing it for me was very much a healing journey. Yeah. To go back now in my late 30s and, you know, it'd be like asking anyone, think about what you experienced when you were 15 years old, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I was in high school. Well, no, actually go back to very specific events that were pivotal points in pointing you in different directions in life, and that's very much what I had to do. So it very much was a process where things came up. I was like, oh, wow. And then obviously, you know, boldly stepping out and sharing that with the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and the first and foremost is, wow, what's my family going to think? You know,
yeah.
Putting it out there and then friends and then, you know, putting it out there for the public to see. But again, it is my story, and I believe that I've learned that as a result of healing through all that myself, that it actually has empowered people, because as a speaker, I share my story a lot. And I noticed that when I didn't share my story and I just talked about some of the ideas, it was less impactful. And perhaps it's because people believe, oh, wow, you know, this guy, Dr. Suki, he's actually been here. He knows what it's like. He can empathize with me. And it actually allowed me to bond more with people and to connect more with them, actually inspired them and motivated them to get more on the place of, wow, you know, if he can do it. And I'll tell you, Joe, I'm a high school dropout from nowhere. There's nothing special about me. I'm just a regular guy that made some certain choices that got me here. But the power of those choices is priceless.
In this, you mentioned that... we mentioned off tape before we started that you had done the tour, say, of high schools. You never went to Tupper?
I never went to Tupper, no.
I went to Tupper, so I just had to ask that. What do you know now that you wish you knew then?
You know, if I was a teenager and someone came along, Joe, and said to me, you know, Suki, whatever you want to create in your life, you can do.
Yeah.
You have the power of creation within you. If someone would have said that to me, I would have been like, really? Can you show me how to do that?
Yeah.
And we have the power to create. And when you're caught up in the veils of the world around you, sometimes you think, that's it. That's all you got. And you can't change your life. But if someone could have showed me a doorway out of that, that would have been very special for me.
This is a very compelling book, an interesting one, and I think whether you're looking for answers or not, you will find them. You'll find something in this book useful for your own life. I really appreciate you coming in today.
Great. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the time.
You're very welcome. ConsciousDivas.com, that's the website for tickets to the book launch, Thursday, the 18th of October, 2012, at the Space Center, the H.R. McMillan Space Center here in Vancouver. DrSuki.com is the website. The book is called Beyond Body, Beyond Mind, Overcome Uncertainty, Transcend Challenge and Hardships and Fulfill Your Dreams. Dr. Suki Mukher joined me here in studio in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.